has come, and we thought we'd take the opportunity. Jordan is a seminary student. He's at RPTS and going through it in about 5 years, he says, and he's just finished a year-long internship with our College Hill congregation. He's a student under care of the Presbytery of the Alleghenies, and he's just finished about a two-week mission team in Atlanta, Georgia, and dealing with our work there, and has some very fascinating and wonderful experiences there. I encourage you to talk to him about that. But he's agreed to open the Word to us this morning, and so Jordan, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. Good morning. Please open up your Bibles to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Psalm 121, a psalm of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come before you for a time of worship. And we ask that you would send your Spirit to be present with us in a special way. Lord, we ask that your truths would be clearly conveyed to us, and that you would show us the importance of trusting in you. We ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. In a complex and broken world, many people feel uneasy about traveling. They aren't terrified of travel in and of itself, or rather they might feel anxious or worried that they might get into some sort of accident while on the road. A few weeks ago, I read that a car accident is the sixth most likely cause of death in developed countries. This ranks well over many common but serious health conditions. Holidays and vacations are a great time of fun and fellowship, but they also bring with them a higher likelihood of being in a tragic accident. For example, a few months ago, the Seton Hill lacrosse team, Seton Hill is a college that's near Geneva College in Pittsburgh. The Seton Hill lacrosse team was traveling for a game. They weren't going very far, just about a half an hour. But nonetheless, they got into a tragic accident, and the bus driver, the beloved young coach, and her unborn child were killed. Every spring break, many colleges from around the country send busloads of students on mission trips, training camps, and vacations, not to mention all the students that travel home for break. Faithful believers pray for these students because they realize that there is a real danger in travel. This is the context of our passage this morning. Psalm 121, one of the Psalms of Ascents, is commonly called the Traveler's Psalm. In this psalm, we see the psalmist traveling on the road to Jerusalem. Now, as a faithful Jewish man, he would have traveled this journey about three times a year. And he knew the road well. He knew that it was very dangerous. And so in this psalm, he's praying that the Lord would protect him and preserve him from the dangers that he may face on his journey. Now, friends, like the psalmist, you may too at times think, well, what if I'm on my trip to Florida or on my trip to Alaska? What will happen if I get in trouble? Who will help me? Well, friends, you need not live with a sense of fear or anxiety. For our text tells us this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is our help at all times, and he will protect you from the dangerous elements of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you at all times and will protect you from the dangerous elements of the world. So trust that the Lord will keep you. He is your helper. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is your keeper and the keeper of all those who trust in him. Look at verse 5 with me. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now, the idea of Christ being our keeper is not a new concept. In fact, we see this in the Old and New Testaments. But first, before we can understand what it means for Christ to be our keeper, we need to understand what a keeper is. According to one popular English dictionary, a keeper is a person charged with responsibility for the preservation and conservation of something valuable, or a person who guards or watches, as at a gate. Now, there are many kinds of keepers displayed throughout the scriptures. There are keepers of sheep or shepherds. There are keepers of vineyards. There are keepers of a gate. There are keepers of the king's forest. And there are keepers of a prison, or prison guards as we know them today. These various keepers have the title of keeper because they're responsible for protecting and keeping and nourishing that which they keep. But our text in verse 5 tells us that Christ is our keeper. Christ is our keeper because he protects us, he guides our steps, and he sends his spirit to nourish and to encourage us. I grew up in a small farming community in central Pennsylvania, and many of my friends had sheep. But it wasn't until I visited rural Ireland that I really understood what it means to be a shepherd. You see, once a sheep's wool grows past a certain length, it's able to retain a lot of water. So much water that when it lays down at night, the wool will fill with dew, and the sheep's not able to stand back up to its feet in the morning. And if a sheep is left in this condition for too long, it will die. And so the farmer or shepherd must come out every morning and lift every one of those sheep up to their feet. You see, sheep can't care for themselves. They need a shepherd. They need a keeper of sheep. And we too need a shepherd, a keeper of sheep. But our keeper is Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. And he provides for you and keeps you in a much greater way than an earthly shepherd ever could. And because he is your keeper, he will never allow you to stumble and fall. Look at verses 3 and verses 8 with me. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. And verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Historically, the Jews sang this psalm among the other psalms of ascent as they traveled on the road to Jerusalem. Now, as I said before, the road to Jerusalem was very, very treacherous. At one point in the journey, the Jews would have been over 1,000 feet above sea level. And at another point, they're over 1,000 feet below sea level. There are steep cliffs and ravines and many places where your feet could stumble or fall. But we see in our text that the psalmist looks to the Lord with hope and faith. He knows that the Lord will not allow him to stumble and fall. For the Lord will keep him wherever he goes, whether he's heading to Jerusalem or whether he's heading home from Jerusalem. The Lord will not allow him to stumble or fall. And this is the same hope that you have in Jesus Christ. No matter where you are in life, no matter what trials you may be going through, Christ will never allow you to stumble or fall. Now, this doesn't mean that you will never struggle, and this doesn't mean that you will never suffer. For we know that the Christian life is often filled with struggling and suffering. This also doesn't mean that you will never die. This text is just saying that Jesus Christ gives us what is good for us, and he protects us from the things that are bad for us. No matter what providence the Lord brings before you, if you were in Christ, he will never allow you to stumble or fall. Last year, I had the privilege of working for a home nursing agency in the Pittsburgh area, and I had the responsibility of taking care of a few elderly men. Well, one of the men that I cared for had suffered polio as a child, and just for fun, let's just call him Mr. Smith. Now, Mr. Smith was able to have a fairly normal life, but as he grew older, the weaker polio leg made it difficult for him to walk sure-footed. When Mr. Smith would need to stand up, he would often ask that I take his arm and help guide his steps so that he wouldn't stumble or fall. He would often say to me, he would say, George, he never did get my name right. He would say, George, you're not going to let me fall, are you? And I would say, no, sir, I am not going to allow you to fall. And you see that assurance that gave him a sense of comfort. Comfort in knowing that someone was there to help him, to guide his steps, to keep him from falling. In this situation, it wasn't that Mr. Smith was holding on to me, but rather that I was holding on to Mr. Smith, not allowing him to fall. But Christ guides your steps in a much greater way than I ever could for Mr. Smith, or anyone else for that matter. Christ guides your physical steps and your spiritual steps, and he guides you in a perfect and eternal way. I could tell my client that I wouldn't allow him to stumble or fall, but ultimately I did not know what was going to happen in the future. I could have taken 5 steps down the hallway and tripped and taken us both down. And if you know me very well, that could happen. But you see, when Christ says, I will never allow you to stumble or fall, he means it. And his words are powerful, they're final, and they're true. And though I held tight to Mr. Smith, Christ holds even tighter to you so that you will never stumble or fall. He also shields you from the dangerous elements of the world. Look at verses 5b and 6 with me. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, as we continue to look at the context of our passage, we must again think of the psalmist traveling on the road to Jerusalem. As we've already talked about, the road itself was very dangerous. We must also remember that the psalmist did not have a vehicle like we have today. And so if it would rain, he would get wet. And if the sun was scorching hot, it could burn his skin. And if it was freezing cold at night, he could freeze to death. But then in the passage, the psalmist is looking to the Lord in hope, trusting that the Lord would protect him from the elements around him. He said, the Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day. You see, the psalmist is trusting that the Lord would provide shade for him during the scorching hot days. But then he goes on to say that the moon would not strike him by night, as if to say, the cold of the night will not overtake me, for my God is mighty to save. And this protection that the psalmist enjoyed is the same protection that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Now again, this doesn't mean that life will be easy, and it does not mean that trials and times of trouble will never come. And this doesn't mean that you will never die. But this text tells us that God always provides for us and gives us exactly what we need. Not necessarily the things that we want at the time, but rather the things that we need, the things that are good for us. During the 1950s, many people around the country purchased and built fallout shelters or bomb shelters. They purchased these shelters to provide a safe place for them during times of great trouble. Now, folks in Oklahoma have some of these shelters to protect themselves from tornadoes. And other folks have bomb shelters to protect themselves if an enemy nation was to attack. You see, these shelters offer a great deal of security during times of great trouble. But they don't even compare to the protection that the Lord Jesus Christ offers those who know him. For Christ protects you in a much greater way than a fallout shelter ever could. He protects your physical bodies, but more importantly, he protects your souls. And this protection guards us as we weather the various storms of our lives. In verses 3 and 4, we see that the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. This means that the Lord is with you no matter where you are, no matter what time of day or night it is. The Lord is constantly protecting you from the elements of the world. Now, only the Lord Jesus Christ guards and protects you from all evil. Look at verse 7 with me. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. So in the first part of the verse, we see that the Lord will keep or protect you from all evil. But a better translation of the second half of verse 7 is this. He will keep your soul. So we not only see Christ keeping you from all evil, but he's also guarding your soul. Now, this verse would have been a great comfort to the psalmist as he traveled to Jerusalem. Remember, the road itself was very dangerous. And also he dealt with the elements around him, the weather, the unpredictable weather. But he also would have faced another potential danger, men who wanted to take his life. You see, during the times of year when the Jews would be traveling to Jerusalem, criminals would lie in wait in the brush, and they would jump out and attack the Jews as they passed by. They would sometimes rob them, steal their money, but other times they would even take their life. But you see, the psalmist is looking faithfully to God to protect him from all evil. Friend, this is the same hope that we have today. Hope in Jesus Christ. For if you are in Christ, he will protect and keep you from all evil. Now again, this doesn't mean that seemingly bad things won't happen. You may even find yourself in what seems to be a very dangerous situation. But remember that Christ will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul, and he will keep and protect your soul for all eternity. The parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 is the perfect example of the types of danger that the Jews would have faced on the way to Jerusalem. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there was a man walking on the road to Jericho. This would have been the very road that the psalmist would have taken. And this man was attacked and left half dead by men. And a priest and a Levite walked by, and they refused to help the man. But then came the Samaritan, and he offered the man aid, and the man lived. This man was a good neighbor, but he was also used by God to keep the injured man from evil. Now, some may argue that the man was not kept from evil, for men had attacked him. And to a degree, that's true. Evil men did attack the man. But I would argue that the man was kept from the ultimate consequence of the evil. For the Lord used the Samaritan to preserve the injured man's life. And Jesus Christ protects you from all evil as well. Now, when the text says that Christ will keep you from all evil, this doesn't mean that you won't suffer. And it doesn't mean that you will never die. It means that Christ will protect you and keep you from the things that are not good for you. Christ doesn't bring tough providences in your life to hurt you. He uses these experiences for your good. In Romans 8:28, the Apostle Paul says these words. He says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So Christ works all things for your good. And so when you find yourself in times of trouble, remember that your help comes from Christ. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Here we're looking at the first two verses of our text. I think during these two verses, the psalmist is either about to leave on his journey, or he's just left. And he looks up to the hills, and he begins to think of all the things that could happen. What if I trip on the road? Or what if the weather is unpredictable and I freeze to death? Or what if a man is hiding in the brush and wants to take my life? Who will help me when I'm in need? But then with deep faith, he responds to his own question. He says, "My help comes from the Lord, the very Lord who created heaven and earth." Friends, this is the same hope that you have. You have hope in Jesus Christ, and he will help you in your time of trouble. Just as the psalmist looks to God in his time of trouble, so can you look to Christ in your time of distress. But Christ doesn't just help you in times of physical distress. He also helps you in times of spiritual distress. Maybe there's times where you're struggling with depression or anxiety or lack of faith. In those times of great despair, you will find Christ right there beside you, working as your helper. Now, Mr. Smith, the man that I cared for last year, he often felt a great deal of anxiety at night. After I helped him in bed, he would usually ask me a series of questions. They weren't always the same, but they usually followed a general theme. He would usually start with, "George, but what if I fall out of bed tonight?" "Well, Mr. Smith, then I'll pick you up and put you back in bed." "Well, George, what if I need a glass of water? You know I can't walk very well." "Well, Mr. Smith, you just call my name and I'll get you a glass of water." "But George, what if I choke on my dentures?" "That won't happen, Mr. Smith. You don't wear false teeth." You see, Mr. Smith had various concerns of things he feared happening to him throughout the night. I was able to ease his mind by assuring him over and over again that I would help him when he was in need. It gave him a sense of peace and knowing that someone was there, someone that would help him when he was in trouble. While I was caring for Mr. Smith, I feel that I was adequately able to help him with his needs. But you see, my ability to help Mr. Smith is minuscule when you look at the way Christ helps his covenant people. Christ neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he is your helper 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. No matter what trouble you face, whether it be spiritual or physical, the Lord Jesus Christ is your helper, and he is mighty to save. So, brothers and sisters, when you find yourself in times of trouble, trust in the Lord who will keep your feet from stumbling, who will keep you from the dangerous elements of the world, who will keep you from all evil, and who will keep your soul. Do you realize the importance of that last statement? He will keep your soul. Christians, if you are a new creature in Christ, if you have been given new life through him, then what do you have to fear? What can man do to you? If you are in Christ, what is the very worst thing that could happen to you? Your life on earth could come to an end. And in reality, that's not an insignificant thing. But you see, if you're in Christ, he keeps your soul. If a man were to kill your physical body, you would be reunited with Christ, who will keep you for all eternity. The Apostle Paul said these words to the Philippians. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Trust in Christ. He will guard your steps. He will watch your coming in and your going out. He will keep you from all evil. He will protect you from his and your enemies for all eternity. Jesus Christ, the living God, the personal God, the God that has suffered all the struggles and the suffering that you have, has called you by name. So trust in him. Now, to those of you who have not yet trusted in Christ, to those of you who have not yet accepted Christ as your King and your Lord, what is your hope in? Is your hope in your spouse or your family? Your children? Is your hope in yourself? Your friends will fail you. Your family will fail you. You yourself will fail at times. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. You need to place your hope in Jesus Christ, for he is the only one who will never fail you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust in him. Now is the time. Don't wait for tomorrow or the next day, for tomorrow or the next day could bring you utter destruction. So trust that the Lord will keep you. He is your helper. Trust that the Lord will keep you. He is your helper. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words that you have given to us. We thank you that your word brings light to our eyes and convicts us of our sin. But we also thank you that the truth of your word brings healing and restoration to those that are seeking your face. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that no matter where we are, or whatever time of day or night it is, you are always there to protect and keep us from all evil. Now, as we leave this place, we ask that you would keep us in safety, and that you would constantly keep our eyes fixed on you. We ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.